You will hear a woman phoning about the shared house she is going to move into. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 1 to 7.
Hello?
Hello, this is Hilary. I'm calling about the house. I'm moving in next week.
Oh yes, Hilary. This is Judith. I met you when you came to look at the house.
Yes. I just had a few more questions I wanted to ask.
Of course.
Well, first, about the rent. I realise I didn't check what it included.
Yes, that's important. It includes most things. We don't have to pay extra for heating, for example, just for the telephone, which is fair enough, I suppose. Local taxes are part of the rent, so that's not a worry.
That's fine. Then I remember I should have sent my letter of reference to the landlord by now, but I haven't got his address.
Yes, you should get that off right away. Address it to Mr. Crawley. He's at 14 King Street.
Is that in Exford?
Yes. And then you'll need to put the postcode, of course. It's AP12 7QT.
Got that. Thanks. I also realise I don't know exactly what the house has in the way of equipment. Is there a microwave, for example?
There isn't. None of us feels the need.
Oh, fine. I'm sure I can do without one too. What about a hairdryer?
Maybe you should bring one, if you need one.
I'll buy one, yes. And TV?
Oh, yes. We've got two, in fact. Was there anything else?
I just wondered if there were any rules.
Not really. We share the cleaning, things like that. We do have to be careful about loud music.
Yes.
So we've agreed that there shouldn't be any loud music after 9, and that we don't play music at all in the living room after 10. Up to 11 in your own room's okay, as long as it's not too noisy.
That sounds good. And is there somewhere safe I can keep my bike?
That's difficult. To be honest, lots do get stolen round here. We haven't got a garage, so we tend to park ours in the garden so that they're hidden from the street.
OK.
Now, I hope you like cooking.
Yes, I do. Do you all have shared meals?
Not very often, actually. But when the weather's good in the summer, we like to have a barbecue together, which we do each Wednesday. We tend to go out at weekends.
Sounds fun.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 8 to 10.
Are you familiar with this area?
A bit. Actually, there are a few things that I'd like to know the location of. A bank, for example.
Yes, there's one quite close. You just go up to the junction near the house, the one where four roads meet, and go straight ahead and then take the second left. It's a little way down there on the left-hand side.
That's convenient. Another thing is that I'd like to check my emails quite often. I was wondering how far away an internet cafe was.
Well, there are a couple, actually, but one's much cheaper than the other. The one I use is very handy. You just go up to the big junction and then, well, I go straight ahead and then turn right so that it's on the right-hand side.
Fine. And one last thing.
Uh-huh?
I need to go to the post office quite often. I'm hoping there's one quite close to the house.
You're in luck. You'd walk up to the big junction and then, if you want a nice route, Take the street that's slightly to the right. Then you'd want the second left, and you'd find it on the right side of the street.
Well, it all sounds great.
So, we'll see you in a couple of days' time?
Yes. OK. Bye.
Bye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a recorded message giving information about an area where tourists can visit to taste local food. First, you will have some time to look at questions 11 to 13. Now listen carefully to the first part of the message and answer questions 11 to 13.
Welcome to the tourist information line for the Valley Food Trail. Here you will find many local food products for you to sample and buy. It is possible for you to spend as much or as little time as you want, but I suggest that you allow a full day for touring this area. Of course, there are many half-day tours available for those of you short on time. Now, it's quite a large area and stretches from Brookville to Ford Hill. For those of you unfamiliar with the area, that means that it is 10 kilometres to 35 kilometres from the city centre, or by car 15 minutes to the closest point, continuing to 55 minutes at its furthest point from the CBD. Of course, apart from food, there are many other places of interest in this area, including cafes and restaurants and galleries and studios. But I wouldn't recommend you go here to see parks and gardens. The other information lines will give you specific information related to these particular attractions.
Before the final part of the message, you now have 20 seconds to look at questions 14 to 20. Now answer questions 14 to 20.
But let's go back to food. If we begin in Brookville and head north towards Upper Valley in a clockwise direction, passing West Valley on West Road, we cross over Coast Road to come to our first place of interest, Magic Coffee. This is not to be confused with the coffee house, situated opposite on the other side of the valley on the railway line. Magic Coffee is next to the chocolate company, which is on the corner. Just past the ice cream shop on the corner of John Street is the fresh produce shop. A little further north, we have reached Ford Hill, where we can start our drive southwards along Great Northern Highway, following the railway line. First, we come to the organic market near the corner of Memorial Avenue, and then to Olive Farm opposite Olive Road. Just before we come to the next street crossing, we see the Honey Pot, which is practically opposite the coffee house. There is another chocolate company, which sells nougat as well, just nearby. Following the railway line along Great Northern Highway, we return back to Brookville. Now, as I have said previously, if you only have a few hours to spare, there are several places that you shouldn't miss. The two chocolate places make equally nice chocolate, but the factory has the added bonus of nougat, unlike the company. Of course, everyone loves ice cream, especially unusual flavours such as coffee and nougat. So the ice creamery is definitely worth a visit. And while the coffee house sells expertly made hot drinks, including hot chocolate, I think your time would be better spent sampling the many products on offer at the organic market. Well, I hope you enjoy your time visiting the Valley Food Trail and enjoy all the wonderful local foods on offer.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will now listen to a talk on bicycles.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Today, we're going to talk about the latest bikes for professionals and novices. There's something to suit everyone from price to function. The Atlantis is a touring frame. It's also perfect for commuting and trail riding, and anything short of super-fast road riding. The tubes are stout, to take touring loads and trail abuses. The tyre clearances are majestic, so you can fit tyres up to 2.35 inches. It's designed for cantilevers or V-brakes. If you have to limit yourself to just one bike and you want to be able to ride just about anywhere, this is the bike to be on. It is our most popular model for just that reason, and there isn't an unhappy Atlantis owner in the land. The Rambouillet, our all-around road bike, is available either as a frame with fork and headset for $1,400 or as a complete bike for $2,300. Compared to the Atlantis, it is a lighter frame, not intended for loaded touring or rough trail riding. As a road bike, it has side pull brakes. The Quickbeam is our version of the single-speed bike. We've done it a little better, though. The crankset has a 42-34 combination, running an 18-toothed freewheel cog in the rear. And the rear hub is threaded opposite the drive side, so you can install a fixed cog of your own choice. In essence, you can have four speeds on the Quickbeam if you choose. The Quickbeam is available as a frame with fork and headset for $900, or as a complete bike for $1,300. This is a rugged, versatile bike that you can ride on the road as well as on rough trail.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
The Saluki is our roadish, light touring, randonneuring frame. It's designed for 650B wheels. If 650B means anything to you, you'll either love it or think it's marketing suicide. If you're new to 650B and a follower, you won't want it. If you're new and a rebel, you will. Now, I'll just talk a little about saddle comfort. The road bike, for the most part, has turned into a high-tech, uncomfortable machine, and the proof is all around us. Look through any bike magazine or catalogue, and you'll see the saddle up to 6 inches higher than the handlebars. It is impossible to be comfortable on such a bike. It forces you to lean forward, putting more weight on your groin, hands and arms. People ride these bikes with straight, locked-out arms and wake up with aching backs. They endure it, get used to it, or buy recumbents. When we custom design a bike for you, you'll be able to get a comfortable position. Your back will be between 45 and 50 degrees, and there will be a noticeable bend in the arms. And most importantly, your arms won't be supporting your body weight. You won't have to look up to look ahead, because you won't be hunched over and low. That means our bikes are more accessible for riding on the flats, or even for short climbs. We consider this when we design and build your custom frame.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
You will hear part of a lecture on the current and future use of mobile phones. You now have 30 seconds to read questions 31 to 35.
Okay, now today we're looking at changes in communication, and specifically changes that have just happened or are likely to happen in the next few years. Key to this is the mobile phone, which is increasingly being seen as an all-purpose system rather than just a phone. If you only use your phone for texting and making calls now, you will be amazed at how you'll be using it in the future. The technology has been developed for a range of other uses. For example, phones could be used so that if you are meeting someone and they get lost, you could send them a map of your location to help them. This will save all those complicated explanations over the phone and our poor friends or colleagues trying to drive and find out where they are at the same time. And if you get bored waiting, or if you're traveling, for example, you will soon be able to see TV news on your phone as it is actually being broadcast. This means that you won't have to miss any of your favorites if you were away for a few days. Most people have got used to texting now, and young people send pictures to each other. But what is exciting is the possibility of putting music with them before you send them. And it's not all frivolous. Phones are going to become even more critical in business and education. Some recent developments have a highly practical usage. So, for example, as lecturers, we will be able to send everybody a text to let them know if lectures have been cancelled. And the new phones could have a further use in education, as well as business, as they will enable us to go to any destination, such as when we are doing a field trip, for instance, and from there to send data directly to a computer so that we can access it when we get home. This means we will no longer be limited by what the phone can store.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 36 to 40.
And it's interesting to look at the different ways that men and women use phones now, as that does affect how the technology will develop. Some research has been done on how people use phones, and some of the results are surprising. One of the increasing usages of mobile phones is to get all sorts of data, such as phone numbers, the weather, train times, etc., and while there's been an attempt to set up connections with things that women might be interested in accessing, it is overwhelmingly men who do this. But what about the traditional use of a phone? To speak to people? I suppose we would predict that it is mainly women who use phones as a method of contact for friends and family, but, in fact, the genders exploit this facility equally. I've spoken about the increased business usages that phones will offer, and I suppose we would associate this usage with men. The survey picked up, though, that women are often working from home or catching up with work in the evenings, so they use phones in this way as much as men do. Most of us are aware we can store photos on our phones. It's an ideal method of capturing a moment wherever you are. Women tend to be the group that keep photos on their phones, but it seems that men use their phones to actually take pictures much more than women do. And of course, all this knowledge affects the marketing that the companies will do in order to sell them.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute.